I'm not going to be giving, I'm giving it, but it's not me, okay? The way this came about, what was yesterday, Wednesday? Okay, Tuesday night, I woke up right around 2 o'clock in the morning, and usually when I do, I get up and pray, or I start reading the Bible, because I know God's trying to work with me, trying to tell me something, or he wants something from me. And it's those times where you can't go back to sleep no matter how hard you try. In this case, it was more of I'm struggling with not a real big problem, but I was struggling with a problem, and it's a problem that I created on my own. So I was struggling with this, and I don't know. It must have been 4:30 by the time I fell asleep. I really don't know what time it was. And I kept praying and I kept asking the Lord, you know, just help me with this. I get me through this. I need you. I need you. I'm relying on you. I want you to be with me, no matter what the outcome is. Either or. If it's a bad outcome, I just want, give me the strength just help me through this. Either way, I just need to know you're there. So when I got up, I slept a little bit more than I should have. But when I woke up, I did my devotional. And before I got to my devotional, I started praying again. I said, Lord, confirm to me through your word that you're with me. You're here. That you heard me. And let me show you where I was at. So, I'm in Numbers in my devotional. I'm not doing the same 1 year devotional. I do something different. So, I was in my devotional, and it's about when the donkey speaks to okay, and then where Phineas runs through, you know, runs a staff through the Hebrew, the Israelite that goes in with the other woman, and he stabs him through. And I'm reading that, and I'm going, that's not the kind of, I didn't really, that doesn't seem very loving to me at this moment. So I didn't really get anything out of my devotion. I was sitting there, and I was reading, and I was meditating on what I had read, and I'm sitting there, and I think it was right around about 7:45 ish around there. I get up and I tell Shani, you know, well, I'm leaving. I'm going to work, and she sits down. And she's doing the normal devotion, and she brings out her 1 year Bible, and she had it on the shelf because she didn't do it last year, but she had it on the shelf. She brings it out, and when she opened it, a sheet pops out. And she goes, I've been looking for that. And then she showed it to me, and I read it. And it didn't come, my confirmation and the peace that I was looking for and the comfort that I was looking for while I was doing my regular devotion, it didn't come in my regular devotion. It came in that sheet that she had, that somebody had ministered to her and gave her. Okay? So it was awesome because I read it, and when I read it, I was so excited. I called Pastor Rob, and when I called Pastor Rob, he sounded sick, and he goes, dude, I'm sick, and he goes, and I told him the story, and he goes, that's awesome, dude. I go, well, you want me to take care? I heard what he sounded like. I said, you want me to take care of Thursday for you? And he goes, I was already thinking that, but I was going to call you a little bit later. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to teach on what I found. I'm going to use that this evening. How's that? And he goes, that's awesome. Do that. I'm going to be going through this, but this is not me. And I usually don't put a title. I don't give a title to whatever I'm teaching on. Usually, my title is God's Word. Okay, there's my title. But on this one, I think it's worthy of a title. I think it's and in the end I'll explain to you why I think it's worthy of a title. But the title that I'm putting on this is The Heart of a Godly Woman. Okay, because this was written by a woman. And the way it ministered to me, the comfort that it brought me, if anybody is struggling, I don't see how, after hearing this, that you can leave this evening without being comforted. Because this godly woman, what she wrote down here is just, and she did it in such a way, in an order, that is just, when I read it, I was, wow, this is great, this is awesome. So there's too many verses that I'm not going to have you guys be flipping back and forth, because there's too many. It's just a bunch of different verses, okay? And the title that she put on it is, True Freedom. That's the title that she put on it, okay? And it's too many verses, so I'm not gonna make you guys run back and forth. But if you guys if you have something to write on, and you can write them down, I'll give them to you as we're going along. But another funny thing is I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm excited about doing something, especially here in church, there's always something that goes wrong. You know what I mean? You're excited to do something, and as I was working today, and I was trying to finish a little bit earlier or get enough time, because I wanted to go through it more and savor it more and just get in it more. And everything went wrong today. There was more cars than I expected to be working on. Two of the cars, I'm pretty sure they dug them out of some tsunami or some hurricane battered place. And one of them brought probably half the dust in the desert back with them, both over the, you know, they were up in the desert for New Year's. So they put as much dirt as they could pile on that Jeep, they did. So I'm going, I'm looking like, oh my God, what's going on here? And, you know, and I know, I'm not sure if it's God trying to teach me patience, or it's the enemy God gave the permission to the enemy to work me up. But I'm not sure what happened, but it's one of those two. And it always happens that way. And I'm not afraid to pray for patience. I pray for patience all the time. And the reason I pray for patience all the time is because I got none. I got zero patience. If you guys ever want the person in front of you in line at a store to their card not work, or they don't have the right change, or they want a price check, or something go wrong, and you're waiting in line to pay for your stand behind me, and you'll get that, okay? If you're ever in a hurry to get somewhere, and you just want everybody who's slow or all kinds of weird things happening on the road, just drive behind me, and you'll get that, okay? I got no patience, and when that happens, Jenny looks at me and she goes, God's trying to teach you patience. And I think maybe he should know that I have none already. He should just give it to me, because I got none. So that's kind of the day I had with this, but I kept coming back to this. I kept coming back to this, and I kept saying, no, don't let this ruin your day, because God already showed you something awesome, and God already showed you that he's with you. So it was a funny day, but at the same time, it was an awesome day, and it's been an awesome couple of days, because I haven't been able to stop thinking about this, and I haven't been able to stop just praising God and just saying, wow, you know, you're so faithful, you're so comforting when we need comforting, because it was an honest prayer. Lord, comfort me. I need to know you're with me. I just want you to be with me through this whole thing. So it was awesome. So even though that with all these bad things happened today, and they were good things, they weren't bad things, they were good things. It's good to have a job and good to have, you know, so they were good things, but just annoying little things. But even through all that, I kept coming back to this, to these verses, and I kept saying, wow, and I kept thinking of the way it happened. I was leaving to work. I didn't really get what I was looking for through my regular devotion, and it popped out. It was just as I was ready to leave, it pops out of Cheney's Bible. So it was an awesome thing. Okay, I'm going to grab one of these because I can already feel myself. Okay, so again, this was given to Cheney in a moment where she was struggling with something. I don't know what. I didn't ask her what it was. But this was given to her by one of her sisters, and it was it's put together in such a beautiful way. And again, she titled it, but I titled it "The Heart of a Godly Woman." Okay, so the first first let's pray. Okay, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for these verses and your Word, Father, and I just pray that you open our hearts and our minds to everything you want us to hear this evening, for everything you want us to learn this evening, Father. I just lift my brothers up to you. I lift myself up to you, Father, and I pray that you use me and that you give us discernment and understanding of your Word, Father. I pray, Father, that that we may be changed by your Word, Father, that you may just come and comfort us through your Word, and that these verses that we are going to be looking at this evening, that the truth of these verses stay in our hearts and our minds, Father, and that we can come back to these and always remember that you are in charge of all things and that you are our loving Father and that you're always with us. And I lift everybody up this evening to you, Father, and I hope that they are blessed through your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, again. Now, again, this was given to Cheney in a moment when she was struggling with something, and it's just a beautiful use of different verses. So the first one we're going to look at is John 8:36. Okay, and again, there's too many for you guys to be flipping back and forth. So I'm going to read them to you. If you guys want to write them down, you can go ahead and write them down. Okay, so the first one is John 8:36, and it says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Okay, and again, she titled it True Freedom. So, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay? I've read through this many times. I've seen this verse many times. And that's true. If we stop and we accept this and we really believe this and we take it to heart like we should, this makes perfect sense to us. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay? There is no freedom like the freedom that we find in Christ. There is none. Most of the world believes that freedom comes through money. It does not come through money. I can guarantee you that it does not come through riches. True freedom comes through Christ and Christ alone. That's where we will find our true freedom, okay? That's the only place where we will find true freedom, okay? So she starts off with that right off. And I'm going to show you something right away. Because she starts off with this and she tells us that true freedom, she's showing us that true freedom comes through Christ, right? Then the next verse that she put down was Proverbs 23:7. And another thing in the sheet that she wrote, she actually wrote Proverbs 23:5, which is also a teaching that a godly person can make mistakes also. So that's also another teaching. But okay, but and the one she wrote down, she wrote 23:5, but it's actually 23:7. Okay, and it says, and it's only a partial. And to me, what was interesting is she used a partial, and it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Okay, so that if you guys want to look that up later, that's actually it's talking about in the New King James, it calls the person a miser. In other words, the a miser. It's actually saying, don't eat, in other words, don't eat with this person, don't eat with a miser, don't eat the bread of a miser, because for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. In other words, the King James translate, don't eat with a person that has an evil eye. In other words, an evil person. Don't eat with evil people. In other words, that's what it is. And then it says, and she only used the partial because it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. In other words, our heart and the way what we feel in our heart, if we're struggling with something and we start losing heart, and we start thinking wrong, that pulls us away from the freedom that we have in Christ. So at the same time, she's comforting, but at the same time, she's telling us, because if you do something, if your heart isn't right, you're never going to have the freedom in Christ that you're looking for. So that was kind of interesting to me that it wasn't all love, but she was teaching what could happen if your heart isn't right, if your heart's not right towards Christ. Okay, so that was interesting, and I'm going, wow, this is some good stuff. This is some really well thought out and well planned and well stationed the way she set it up. Okay. So again, it's talking about a person whose heart isn't right. Okay, so. Then she comes to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Okay? If you're writing it down, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Okay? And she says, and she wrote down, well, the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay? Now, let's think this through a little bit, because it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself in the knowledge of God. Okay? I'm going to stop there. In the knowledge of God. Okay. I've heard this taught in a very out of context way. Okay? Mainly in the religion where we first started out in. Okay, so it's saying the way I heard it taught was it's talking about when you're arguing somebody or you're fighting against other people. I don't think that's what it's talking about at all, because if we're honest, the true warfare, if what other people think really don't affect us. And it's talking about a spiritual warfare. Who's casting down arguments and high things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay. In our own, my biggest struggles are with myself. Okay. I pray to God every day, forgive me for my sins, my weakness, what goes on in my head and the way I act and the things that I do, because those are going to affect me. What other people do aren't going to affect me. So when I'm looking at this, it's talking about against the knowledge of God. So if we have the knowledge of God, it's usually the enemy starts trying to mess up the way we think and the truths that we already know, that we already believe, that we learn in the Word of God. But the more knowledge we have of God, the easier it is to break down the whatever is messing us up. Like what I was telling you about today, things weren't going right, but I kept coming back to the Word of God. I kept coming back to what I had learned this morning, or what had comforted, the word that had comforted me. So I kept coming back to that. And it was breaking down what was making me mad. Everything was going wrong, and it was breaking that down. I started praising God and singing, and everything was good, you know. And I got home, and I was happy, and everything was fine. I'm happy right now, and it was great because I kept coming back to his word. But it wasn't anything else that anybody did to me. It was what I was letting happen, what I was letting my emotions run away. You know, I was letting that happen. Nobody was doing it to me. So it says, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, okay? And I believe that it's more talking about what are we letting affect us? What outside things are we letting into our lives that affect us? And then it says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, okay? It's talking about our thoughts, what we're thinking, okay? So it's not about going out and warring with other, not going out there and arguing with Jehovah's Witnesses, or that's not what it's about, you know, or atheists or whatever. Because they're not going to affect you unless you let them affect you, okay? And if you let them affect you, then you're not focused on Christ. You're not focused on God. You're not focused on his word, okay? So, the next one is Isaiah 26:3. Okay? Oh. You, Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. That is one of the most beautiful promises that we have, okay? You, meaning God, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, okay? You see the order, how she put it? It's like a little book in itself. You know, because she lays it out so awesomely, okay? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In other words, if we're focused on godly things, if we're focused on what can break us out of that peace, okay? Now, I guarantee you next week, this is gonna it's gonna start going to the back of my mind, and I'm gonna get mad at something. But I hope that I come back to this, you know. And I say, don't you remember how happy you were? Because, and you know, guys, only true Christians can say that. We can mess up, and then we can remember. Wait. Think back and look at everything that God has done in your life, and only Christians who really believe in God's word and who are founded on his promises can come back to that, okay? Because I've seen people say they believe in God, and as soon as something goes wrong, it's over. They leave. They're no longer involved in godly things. They no longer attend church. I've seen that happen, okay? But if we trust in him, he will keep us in perfect peace, even in the middle of a storm, okay? And that is something that is only promised to his children. That is a beautiful promise in itself, that we can find peace in the middle of a storm, because the world can. The world cannot find peace in the middle of a storm, okay? They're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, okay? Isn't that what they say? Look for the light at the end of the tunnel. Why? The light is in me. The light is with me. Right? If we're Christians, the light is with us. It's not at the end of the tunnel. It's with us. It's there guiding us. See? And that in itself is just a beautiful promise to us. whose mind is stayed on you. Stay focused. We need to stay focused. And I'm talking to myself here. We need to stay focused on the things that God does in our lives. Remember what he does in our lives. Remember where he brought us out of. Remember everything that he's gotten us through. Everything. If we can do that, we stay focused and we trust in him. We say, no. Whatever's going to happen, he's in charge, and he's gonna keep us there. He's gonna keep us. We're gonna have peace in the middle of a storm. Okay, so the next one again, Proverbs 3:5. Okay, Proverbs 3:5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." And that's one that we all know, and we probably learned it, and we don't do it because, again, I fail so much in this. Aren't we always trying to help them? Aren't we always trying to help them? And even the way we pray, "Lord, if you do this, I can do that." You know, we're always trying to help them. We're always trying to, teach them or, pray in a way that says, "Lord, if we can do this," and trying to, I'm as guilty as everybody else. But that's also the awesome thing about God. He knows that. I mean, has your son or your grandson or your daughter ever tried to help you do things? Let me do it, Mom. Let me do it. Go, okay, let's go. I imagine that's how God looks at us as we look at our children when they're trying to help us. And because we're his children. He says we're his children. I wouldn't pick me as a child, but he says I am, so I'm happy about that. So, but that's the God that we serve. And he knows that, he knows how little our focus stays focused. It's not very, at least for me, it's not very long. I don't stay focused for very long, but if I keep coming back to his word, then I can stay focused. If I keep focused on him, then I can stay focused. Okay? Okay. The next one is Matthew 6:25-27. Matthew 6:25-27. And this is Jesus speaking, and it's towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching. So he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature?" Okay? Now, I actually want to go back because this needs a little bit more attention. I'm going to go back to verse 19. So if you guys want to go there, I want you to go to Matthew 6:19. Okay? Okay? And again, this is the Sermon on the Mount, and he's actually teaching on wealth, okay? And it starts off when it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where the moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Okay, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Okay, so at this point, Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching about wealth, and I found myself always worried about money. I would teach this a lot. I would talk about this a lot when I'm teaching in the Spanish service. I can't remember a time. I don't. It's not that I can't. I do not remember a time where God didn't give me what I needed. And I mean even back before I came to him, before I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I cannot remember. There is not a time, better said. There's never been a time where he did not give me what I needed. Now, there have been times where there was several times where it was very hard, struggles. There were a lot of struggles, but he always got me through them. Even even up to a couple of years ago, when it came time to for payroll, when I had to pay the employees, the people that were working for me, and everything, I can say right now, sorry to Chenny, because I would always, what happened? Where's the money? You know, like if she was the one that spent it, it was probably me who spent it, and just didn't remember. But you know, I said, well, you know, we got no money left, and it's this, that, and the other thing, you know. And I would always have to stop and think, and stop and say, you know what? When have you ever not paid a bill? When did you not have enough money to feed your family? When did you not have enough money to pay for your home? When did you ever not have a roof over your head? So I would always have to come back and think and say, you know, you're an idiot. You're all upset, and you've never gone without. You know, there's been hard times to struggle, and it's been hard, but you've never been without. So I'd always have to come back and say, you're a dork. There's something wrong with you, you know. And then next Friday I would do it again, and then the following Friday I would do it again, and I'd have to come back. But that's just maybe not for all, but it kind of seems like it's human nature, you know. And when you read this, when you read 25 through 27, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And you know, guys, that's I've found that to be true in my life. You know, even when I wasn't trusting in God, even when I didn't trust in Him, when I didn't have a relationship with Him, when I didn't know Him, He was always faithful. He was always faithful, and He's always going to be faithful. His promises, there's nothing there's nothing better than leaning on His promises and having faith in His word. There's nothing better than that. Okay? Because again, like I said, I'd have to go back every Friday and say, you know, you're a dork, you're an idiot. Calm down, you know. And I would have to do that. But he knew I was. He knows, and he knew that I was going to go through that. It's a process. It's a teaching, and it's learning to trust him, and being willing to trust him. Because we have to be willing to trust him. We have to want to trust him. And I do. I really do. That's why most people. I think Pastor Rob said this a couple times. People are afraid to pray for patients. I'm not. I pray for it all the time. You know, I'm not afraid, and there was a time back when it was in the religion where we started, they would say that, be careful, don't pray for patience. And I was like, okay, yeah, I don't want to pray for patience. You know, I was, ooh, that sounds pretty good. We don't want to pray for that. No, I pray for patience. I want to be more patient because I got no patience. I got zero, so I want patience. So, and I'm sure Jenny. She wants God to give me patience also. But I have none. So I want it. I really desire it, but I think that he's going to let me struggle through this until something clicks in my head, you know. He's going to keep letting me struggle with this no patience thing until He's probably looking at me, he's saying, son, you know, I keep sending you these, you know, these little tests, and you keep failing them. But, you know, so that's my fault. That's not his fault. Okay? Okay. So the next scripture we're going to look at is Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Okay? Philippians 4, 6 through 8. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, I'm going to stop there because, again, I was taught this different, okay, and it was wrong, out of context. Because religious and legalism kicked in here, and they took it out of context. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay. When Chani was at her worst in her sick, in her illness, when we thought she was not going to make it, people would come in and say, "Oh, you need to pray, and you need to, you know, you need to, the word says if you pray, you know." No. When we pray and when we're look at what it says. But in everything, in what? In some things, or in just a few things, or in what we want. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Okay, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, when we're in a storm, we're supposed to be a little bit different. Because we are his kids, and because of the relationship we have, we're supposed to trust in him, and we're supposed to be thankful for everything he's already done for us, in other words, and trust that he's going to get us through, okay? And when we're praying, we should pray for the will of God to be done, not what we want to be done, okay? Let his will be done, not ours, okay? In everything. It doesn't say only in the good things or only in the things you want. It says in everything, good, bad, in everything, okay? Then it says, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stop there again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. Okay. Does anyone claim to understand the peace that God can give? Because I look at myself and I say, I have no idea why God loves me or I can't see a reason why he should. See? I don't understand it, but I will accept it. And I love him more for it, because that is true. Okay? I don't understand it. And I wouldn't choose me. And I'm guessing a few of you probably think the same way. I wouldn't choose me for salvation. So I don't understand it, but I accept it. And I believe it. Okay? So, and the other thing is, look at what he says here. I was just teaching on this last night in the Spanish service. It says, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Okay. Will guard your hearts and mind, okay? Somebody, I don't remember who it was. I might have heard Pastor Rob say it. I don't remember where I heard it or what I heard. But somebody mentioned that the hardest road we will ever travel is 18 inches. Because that's the distance between your mind and your heart, about 18 inches. So, when he says guard your hearts and your mind, to me, that's telling me that we cannot serve God just with our minds or just with our hearts. It has to be with both. It has to be with both. We cannot understand, and we cannot have an understanding of his word or discernment of his word if we're not using both our hearts and our minds. It has to be both of them, okay? Because he wants all of us. He doesn't want pieces of us, Okay? So to me, this is awesome the way God's word is so perfect, and he lets us know that it has to be with our hearts and with our minds in order for us to be where he can use us, where we can understand him, where we can be his servants. It has to be with both. Okay? Then verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren," and this is beautiful. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, are of good report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Okay? And that's exactly what I did today. I kept coming back and meditating on what God had showed me this morning, or yesterday morning. And I honestly, I pray and I hope that I don't forget that. That I don't forget how I kept, when things were going wrong, how I kept coming back to his promises, and where I kept coming back to his word, where I kept focusing on him instead of exploding like a dork like I always do, you know? And it was so awesome because it didn't ruin my day like another days it would have ruined my day, and it didn't. I hope and I pray that I just keep coming back and remembering. Do you every time I feel like getting mad or something, I'm going to try to remember in my head. Do you remember when you were meditating on everything beautiful about his word? Remember that? Okay, do it again. You know. Okay. The next one is 2 Timothy 1:7, okay? 2 Timothy 1:7, okay? And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Okay? "He has not given us a spirit of fear." Has not, okay? That's, I'm going to emphasize that, has not given us a spirit of fear, okay? But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind, okay? I've always taught that the Holy Spirit is a power that no man can hold or can confine to one thing, because we started in a religion where they said the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the speaking of tongues, okay? There is absolutely no way that anybody can say that all the power of the Holy Spirit is the speaking of tongues. There's no way. It's impossible. The power of the Holy Spirit is, there's no way you can contain it. It just explodes. And that's the power that God gives to us as a gift, okay? And of love, okay? And of love, and of a sound mind. If we believe, and if we are focused on him, we have a sound mind. We have a sound mind if we believe and we are focused on his word, if we're focused on him and his teachings and his promises, and we believe them with our mind and with our heart, we have a sound mind. Okay? Okay, the next one is 2 Timothy 2:3-4. 2 Timothy 2:3-4. Chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Okay? It says, "Therefore, you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Okay? Ooh. He's speaking to Timothy, but he's speaking to all of us. Okay? Ooh. "You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We must endure what? Hardship. Okay? "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Who enlisted us as a soldier? As soldiers. Jesus Christ. Okay? Pastor Rob, when I was going through some struggles back in the day, basically, there was a bunch of... basically, what it said, it's like a little poem, and basically what it says is, you know, God didn't tell you to worry about what people are talking about you, what people are saying about you. He didn't call you to do that. He called you to teach His word, to be strong in His faith. Don't worry about that stuff. He didn't call you to entangle yourself, as it says, with the affairs of this world. That's not what He called you to do, because you can't please Him if you do that. Okay? Okay. Next one is John chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Okay? 1 John, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And you know what, guys? I'm going to ask you guys to go there, okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." Okay? Now, this thought actually starts back in verse 7. Well, it starts before that, but at verse 7, and I'm gonna read it real quick to you. Okay, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins, to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay? No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and He in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. That's a whole lot of love. Okay? But if you notice, it was saying that it's not the love that we have to Him, it's the love that He demonstrated to us. Okay? Because he loved us first, even when we were sinners. But it also says, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And in another place, Jesus actually told the disciples, you will be known by the way you love each other. They will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Okay? What is he saying? What is he talking about? What does that mean? That means that that's God's church. God's church. How, if there's a bunch of backbiting and there's backstabbing and there's fighting and there's all kinds of bad things going on where there is no love, where there isn't where in the congregation, in the fellowship, you don't see the love, you don't feel the love. How can we say that we abide in God? You can. In the religion where we started, there was none. There was a bunch of backbiting and backstabbing and hating on each other. And when I got here, it was like, whoa, these people really love each other. And it was, we'd never experienced that before. And we learned to love. Chenny and I learned to love you guys and everybody. Because that's what you guys taught us. See? We felt welcome from the first night we got here, we felt welcome. We felt the love. One time, when I was told when we were getting ready to leave, where we were at, trying to hold me back from leaving, he said, you're never going to find a perfect church. And later, when I got here, I said, you're wrong. I am in a perfect church because God's word is taught and the love is flowing. I'm never going to find a perfect congregation, but I'm always going to find a perfect church if the word of God is taught and the love is flowing. Then you're in a perfect church. So he was wrong. And I know he was wrong, and I can prove that he's wrong because of the love that we have here. Okay? Last one. Psalms 34:4. Okay? This is what she closes it up with. Okay? She takes us through the struggle. She takes us where we find, first she starts off where we find freedom and where we can lose our freedom. And she takes us through struggles. And then she ends up speaking, she ends up teaching, leading us through love. And then she closes it up with saying, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from my fears. From all my fears. Okay? The teaching, the comfort that she expresses through God's word and the way she set up the verses, I think is a beautiful display of a godly woman. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you who wrote this. Okay? Everyone who knew Adrian knows that she was a godly woman and loved others. And this is who wrote this. Adrian. That's why I was so excited when it popped out of the Bible and I read it. Because even after her passing, she was ministering to me. And she will minister to everybody through these words, through this simple teaching. It was Adrian. So I hope that anybody and everybody who needs this, who needed these verses, who needed God's love, got it this evening through Adrian's teaching, through Adrian's ministering to all of us. Because this was beautiful. I was, wow, this is absolutely, you know, beautiful the way God used her to minister to me, and I hope to everybody else. And even after she's gone, still ministering. So I was excited to share this with you guys. And again, this isn't me. This was Adrian. This was Adrian's teaching. So I'm not taking credit for it at all. This was her teaching, and I think it was a beautiful display of a godly woman, the heart of a godly woman. Okay? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. We thank you, Father, for the time that you let us be with Adrian, that you just shared Adrian with us, Father. And I thank you for that. I thank you for this beautiful teaching, Father. And I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters here and the love that you have taught us through your word. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for your teachings. I thank you for sharing them with us and for just loving on us the way only you can, Father. I pray that anybody who needed to hear this evening, that you ministered to their hearts and they found the true peace and happiness that only comes through you, Father. I lift every one of my brothers and sisters up here this evening to you. I lift Pastor Rob up to you. I lift Adrian's family up to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you comfort as only you know how to comfort, Father. I thank you again for this evening, and I pray, Lord, that you get everybody home safely this evening and that we can just meditate on your word this evening and every day and every time we need it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.